course, there's plenty of different ways to talk about the data and the data sets that we gather. And censoring is one of them. And we've mentioned it in previous lessons, but let's go over it in a little bit more detail and make sure we cover all the ways that we can censor data. But censoring is basically that we have incomplete information about a data set. And typically, we're talking about time to failure information or life data of some sort when we're talking about censoring. But it doesn't always have to be related to time to failure. It could be time of operation, for example, whether or not we have all the information we need. But we collect this data in order to have as much information as we can and not ignore parts that are partially incomplete. And statisticians over the years have sorted out ways to incorporate that information and account for the uncertainties that may be involved in the part that's censored. So one of the easiest ones to think of is what we call write censored data. And that's data that starts at time zero, for example. And here I have three units that were put into service, and they've run for some amount of time. And I'm using arrows here to represent that they haven't failed yet. But this is when we've collected our data. Let's say it's at 1 year of operation, and all three units have survived. And we don't know when they're going to fail. Now, one or all of these units could fail immediately after we've taken our reading and checked they're working. Or they could fail somewhere in the future. We just don't know. So that's where our uncertainty is to the right of the point that we have the information. But we do know that they were working over this period of time, and that's useful information. Left censored data, in this case, I have 3 points of data that are also right censored. I have this, we don't know if they're operating beyond that point, but let's say I have data that it shows that they all failed at that point, or they, so make it just the left sensor data. I should have put a failed on that. So I have 3 units that have failed. And I went out and inspected the plant and found 3 motors that have failed. And they have just failed. They were working not that long ago. And what we don't know, though, is when those motors were installed. When were they turned on? How long have they been operating? But we may know that it's been operating for a year when we last inspected these units, but there's a question mark as when they really started. So in this case, it's a little bit trickier, is that we have an unknown on the left side as to how long they've been operating. And that can be accounted for. It's less common in most cases, but it can be accommodated in many of the reliability statistics packages. And that's what we call left-censored. And then there's single or multiple-censored. So if all the units started and ran for 1 year and they're all the same, it's just one kind of censoring, one censoring. But it could be at different points in time. Maybe they started at different points, and so some ran 3 months, another ran 6 months, and another ran 12 months, and they're all still running. So they're all three are write censored, but at different points in time. The other way you get multiple censoring is when it's left censored and right censored. And so I don't know when it actually started, and I don't know when it failed, but I do know it's operational for some period of time between 2 measurements we've made. So another version of this is interval censoring, is maybe I only make the inspection once a month. And in that case, I really don't know when the failure occurs. So in this case, this particular one here failed just after the last inspection. And I noticed it on this inspection, but it happened early in the program, but I don't know where in that interval it failed. Another one might have failed almost just before I did the inspection, and another one is right censored. It's still operating, and I don't know when it will fail. So you can choose the point in time that it's just after your previous inspection or just before your current inspection, Or what's more common is you pick the midpoint of the inspection period. So there's a number of different ways we can get left-censored, right-censored, interval-censored are the most common. Right-censored and interval-censored are very common. Or combinations of all those different things. And in general, we try to do continuous monitoring down to a reasonable increment so that it becomes a continuous measure and not avoids the interval censoring. And we tend to rely on good record keeping to know when things were put into service. And there's all kinds of variations of this, and most of our reliability programs and algorithms for doing analysis can deal with any and all of these kinds of censoring. The fewer, the better, the fewer unknowns we have, the better, yet they still exist. Now, previously we talked about another type of censoring. This pertains to if we're running a test, for example, and let's say I have three units operating, and they're going to operate for a fixed period of time, and that's it. And so I start at time zero, I run the test for, say, 1 month, and I stop the test. So it stops based on the clock. And so we call that time censored or type one censoring, as opposed to a failure censored data where I start the test at time zero and I run it until I have two failures. Now, each one has an advantage or disadvantage. Having more failures or a set number of failures helps me with some types of analysis, whereas time-censored ones may be to fit a schedule or to fit a time constraints or cost of running the test. If we're doing a failure-censored test, we don't know how long the test will run. We may have some idea or estimates, but we really don't know, and that may not be acceptable for our program. The analysis of this kind of data when it's either time-censored or failure-censored is slightly different, and we talked about that in a couple of the previous episodes, or lessons, I should say. But why do we go to the trouble to identify and talk about censored data? Well, if we only dealt with the failures, we would get an artificial view of, say, the time-to-failure distribution. So let's say I was running a test and I had 20 samples and only 5 had failed. If I only consider the 5 failures, now it's being interpreted as that's the full population. And we'll get a much more conservative or biased towards they fail earlier in general than they actually did. But because I have 15 units that haven't failed, those 5 units that I'm considering represent the first quarter of percentile of failures, not the spread out over the entire percentile. So instead of the 5th failure representing the time to all of them failing, it represents the time to only a quarter of the population had failed. And so the ones that haven't failed yet, the right censored data, puts the failures in context of when all of the units are expected to fail. And that's why we consider the censored data, is that that information provides insights as to how to properly interpret the failure data that we do have. So next, now that we know a little bit about the types of data, let's talk about the collecting the data, which I'm sure is not a hard part for many of you.